stuff. And what happens when the school continues to see that the people of church want to have an impact, a tangible, real impact, they continue to have confidence that they can come to us when they have needs. So that's the hope. So while it might seem like it's not related, it is. Save your Kellogg's boxes. If it's made by Kellogg's, bring it to church. Try to make sure there's no food left in it. But you can just flatten them out, bring it to church, and we'll get those to Mr. Buxton. Okay, having confidence in God is what we're talking about. Like we do every Sunday, we're going to start with our mission statement. So if you will stand, not going to ask you to do it, but how many people think they might have most of this in their brain by now? Okay, yeah, it's hard. Sometimes if we just see it once a week. But our mission statement, did I give that to you, Rochelle? Okay. Well, let's just see. That little memory stick that I have, sometimes, you know, it's in there. But our mission statement, I'll say it once, and then you can say it back with me. So, and listen this time. So with the Spirit of God, oh, look at that. Let's say it together. With the Spirit of God, we will build relationships, lead others to Jesus, and disciple believers to be Christ-like. Now, this would be related to what we're going to talk about today is the discipling believers again, which I am one of those. I'm a believer. So what we talk about today pertains to us as believers in Jesus. That's what we're going to focus on, having faith in God. And if you have your Bible, you can open to Mark chapter 11. If you don't, you can listen. It's going to be short. We're going to read verses 20 through 24. But today, we're going to talk about having faith in God, which is a common church word. You know, everybody says, well, you got to have faith. Some people that don't love God even write songs about having faith. I'm not going to sing those. They're going through my head right now, but I'm not going to sing them to you. But faith is what we find is the key ingredient to prayer. So Mark is telling a story about Jesus here in Mark chapter 11, verse 20. He says, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Okay, pause. What's happened at this point? Jesus went by the day before and saw this fig tree that wasn't doing anything. It was fruitless. So he said, never again will you bear fruit. And the disciples have come by it again the next day and said, they've come by it, and they see that it's dried up from the roots. Verse 21, and Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Peter's talking about the fig tree, and Jesus, like he usually does, answers out in left field. He says, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Oh boy, this is going to be fun. Let's pray. Thanks God for your word, and the fact that you have given us instructions. Help us to make sense of it today and learn what you have for each one of us individually. We believe that you can do that through your Holy Spirit, and it's in the name of Jesus we say thank you. Amen. You can have a seat. This is one of those fun topics where you can have a thousand, well, what ifs, or but I tried. So instead of me trying to list all of the reasons why what Jesus said doesn't work, I decided just to stick with what he said and take, all right, here's what he said. What does he mean? And is he right? That's what we've done today. He's talking about praying, and he says, when you pray, when you talk to God, which he was referring to, he spoke to this tree and said, do this. So God, Jesus is asking for something to be done, and it happens. And the disciples are like, hey, look, it happened. And Jesus replies with, have faith in God. Sometimes we get to where we are consistently spending time talking with God and praying. And generally, if you've looked at our prayer list in our bulletin, you see that there is no shortage of needs. And if we pray for these things on a regular basis, it's hard to keep ourselves in this emotional, worked up state of, God, this is so important to me. And sometimes we've even cared so much about something that we cry about it because it's important to us. And sometimes we even pray out loud and we feel like we're pleading with God. God, please. And then there are times where we're just praying. And it's tricky sometimes to think that, you know, the prayers where, you know, I'm sitting here, I've read my devotion, my reading for the day, and then I'm just praying and like, well, Lord, thanks for this and thanks for that and please help this. Like, that prayer is not as powerful as the ones where I'm just down at the altar. You know, if I've cried, then wow, God really must have heard me because I cried. That's God using our emotions, which he gives to us. And I know that God can use our emotions to make an imprint on our mind. Because when your emotions are working, your chemicals are flowing in your brain, which causes things to stick. And there have been times in my life where I have been moved by what I heard a preacher say. It stirred my emotions, and I came and made a commitment. And in that instance, God used what was spoken to trigger my emotions so that I would respond. That's important. But it doesn't always happen that I get a big emotional feeling when I feel the need to pray for something. And I want to be sure that we are all on the same page today, that that big emotional outpouring is not what causes God to listen to us. It's important, but it's not what causes God to listen to us. And in Mark chapter 11, we see that he says, what you need is to have faith in God. He also, James tells us, James chapter 1, he says, when you come to God and ask for something, he doesn't say, be really loud, pray really long, and cry lots of tears. He doesn't say that. He says, when you come, he's talking about wisdom. He says, if you need wisdom, come to God and ask. And when you ask, don't doubt. You need to have full confidence that what you're asking from God, he is able to do. So when I come to God and ask him, sometimes I am moved emotionally. Other times I can come to him and just physically feel like there's, you know, it's level. Like, here I am again, God, doing what I usually do. Do you still hear me? The key ingredient, what we see, is that do I believe that God is able to do what I'm asking? He answers my prayer. Here's how I summarized it. He answers my prayer based on my faith. Here's where it comes in. That God has placed the desire in my heart to pray for what I'm praying. This took me a little while to wrap my head around it. Hopefully I can summarize it here and make sense out of it for you. But when I pray, I need to have confidence that this burden that's in my heart has been placed there by God. So if I feel as his child and somebody who wants to obey him, if I feel a burden for something in my heart, that must mean that God has placed a burden in my heart for this thing, and he is completely aware that I'm going to take this burden and bring it to him. So I'm not catching God off guard when I really care about something, because he's the one that's caused me to care about it as his child. He says next, if you have faith, surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So does Jesus really mean there's a mountain? I don't want to drive over it because it'll take me 2 hours. I'd rather just have the mountain moved so I can just drive on the straight road. Generally, no. He's probably not saying there's a physical mountain in my way, so I'm going to ask God to move it. Unless there is an actual need. I don't know that I'll forget this story. I hope I don't. We had some missionaries talk about they were sending Bible tracts into a part of the world that they could not physically enter. So what they decided to do was tie them to balloons. So they tied them to balloons, and they lifted them up, you know, let go of them. The balloons took them up in the air. I remember this. I'm not making this up. So now we're at the mercy of the wind, which was blowing the wrong way once they let go of them. Guess what they did? They stopped and prayed. Asked God to change the direction of the wind. Guess what happened? The direction of the wind changed. Blew the tracks into this area. Now this is, I've heard the story. I'm not telling you third hand or fourth hand. I heard with my own ears the missionary telling this story. Okay? In that case, there is a literal mountain that needs to be moved. They cannot move it, and they have asked God in faith to move this big obstacle to accomplishing God's will, and he did it. Now, there are other times where we come to mountains and we think of them as, you know, something is like a mountain to me. So that would be a simile or a metaphor. Metaphorically speaking, it's a mountain in my life. Sometimes we come to these big obstacles and we look at them and we say, God, please move this mountain, whatever it is, out of my life. When I come to these obstacles, or I might say, God, yeah, let's leave it at that. There's a mountain in my way. And I'm looking at my list of tools that I have in front of me, and I have a pickaxe. And I'm standing here, if you don't know, you can use a pickaxe to break up rocks or to climb rocks. So I have this tool in my hand, and I'm saying, God, get it out of my way. And God might be saying, hey, look in your hand. Use what I've given you. So sometimes, or if I need a hole dug, so I have a metaphor. Man, I've got this really big task to accomplish. I need this thing dug out of my life. God, please make it happen. And sometimes God comes over and gives us a shovel. The closest example I can see to this when I think of shoveling is debt. Sometimes we get ourselves in a big pile of debt. Physically, I'm talking about money, Benjamins. Sometimes they're Jeffersons, depending on what your problem is or how much you have of it. Chris and I came to this point in our life, I think 2006 was when we finally said, all right, where's the shovel? We had a big pile. It wasn't huge, but it was big enough. I thought, this is horrible. And the nice thought is to say, God, please make it all disappear. Move this mountain out of my life. And instead of doing that, God gave us a shovel by the name of Dave Ramsey, who gave us a budget. Like, stink. I just wanted somebody to give us a whole bunch of money so we could pay them all off. Then we wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. What I've learned is the problem with God just dumping things in our lap when we have the ability to come to a resolution is that I don't learn anything. So God said, my plan is for you to learn something. I want you to realize how miserable you are when you pay this stuff off, so when it's paid off, you will never do it again. And so we did that, and it wasn't fun. You know the things I could have bought instead of pay off those stupid credit cards? Which is how we got there in the first place. But in that instance, rather than saying, God, move the mountain, I said, God, show me how to get over the mountain. So God can give us shovels. When I pray and ask God to move mountains, those are points in my life when I realize there is no way, really no way I can get over this, and I depend on you completely to make it happen because it's not possible for me. When I come to those situations, I can pray and have confidence that God will make it happen. There's been only one point in my life up to now where I have used this scripture of the mustard seed when I prayed and said, God, you said. And that was when I was at Ball State. I may have told this story before. I don't remember. You're going to get it again if I have. I was at Ball State working on my master's, and where I came into my office, I came in through the back of the arts building. And as you walk into the back door, there's this wall with a billboard on it so students can put whatever they want up there. Well, one day I walked through the door, opened it up, and there's what was called an art display. Pictures of trees with chopped off body parts hanging on it. No joke. It was art. And I looked at it long enough to like, that's disgusting. What kind of psychopath thinks this is art? And I got that sometimes things stick in my head. I got that stuck in my head. So I dreamed about it that night, had some crazy dreams. I don't remember what it was. And they looked like real parts. I guess that's why it was real art. So that's the only way I can, well, not the only way. The other way to get to my office would be to walk around the entire building, come in through the front, and then weave my way through the back. And I thought, this is ridiculous. So I go to the chair of my department. I say, Mr. Holmes, do you know what's down there that I have to walk by? His response is, well, sorry, Ben, that's not my department. Can't do anything about it. I said, okay, well, I'll go talk to their department. So I called their department, and he said, well, they have the right to put whatever they want there. There's nothing I can do about it. Okay, and I explained, this is disgusting, and it's affecting me. Now, I'm not a big baby. I don't cry about, you know, my rights have been violated. But it was sick, like disgusting sick. So both department chairs said, sorry, there's nothing I can do about it. So I called the chancellor of the university. Well, I'm sorry, it's their department. We don't dictate what people do in their departments. Sorry. So I did everything I knew to do. The only person after that's the president of the university, and they don't concern themselves with those kind of things. They go raise money. So the highest person on the totem pole, I had done everything I could up to that point. And at that point, it was too bad, so sad, deal with it. And I'm not stretching the truth there. It was sorry, they'll have it up there as long as they want. I came back home, and I just simply said, God, you said that if I have the faith of a mustard seed, that you can move a mountain, you'll do it. And all I'm asking is for you to get that junk off of that wall. It's disgusting. Went to bed. The next morning I come into school and I open the doors and guess what I see? A nice big empty billboard. I'm like, huh. Wonder how that happened. So I had to go tell my department chair, hey, did you see the billboard downstairs? That's an instance where I did what I could do. I used the shovel as much as I could, and then I came to a point where I can't do anymore. And I said, God, you have to handle this. And he did. And when Jesus says, when we pray and ask for these mountains to be moved, we can have confidence that when we've done what we can, God can step in and do the rest of it. Now, depending on what your life is like, you may think, well, I have huge mountains, and I don't know how in the world I can get over these things. Well, the funny thing is, Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, which is, a mustard seed is about the size of the end of this pen here. Like if you take your pen, that's okay, it doesn't bother me. Sometime, at some point, mine's going to go off too, and you'll say, what in the world? So if you have this much faith, which is about the size of the end of a pen, you can move a mountain. So he's saying, you don't have to have like this overwhelming sense of, you know, I've been building this faith for 50 years, now I can move a mountain. Jesus says, it takes a little bit of trust in me to do a whole lot of work. So whatever's going on in my life, I don't have to talk myself out of praying for it because I'm not faithful enough. The next part is, whatever you desire will be given to you. And this is where it gets a little tricky. Because sometimes I desire for things, I have a desire for things, and I pray for them. And I always think of the Garth Brooks song, I know it's old. We have asked God for things. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. We asking for him, God, please give me. And usually it's, God, please give me, I want. And that's one of the big clues I can tell. Am I praying something out of faith in God, or am I praying for something out of want of Ben? When I come to these prayers, I have to ask myself, is this a desire that God has placed in my heart, or is this a desire that Ben Muncie has? Talk about it all the time, but I have desires for trucks. Carissa and I counted the other day. We were in the car together for a while. We counted how many vehicles I've had since she's known me. She counted hers first. She's had 10. Seven, sorry. She's had seven. I've known her since 1996, and she's had seven. She's known me since 1996, and I've had 20. I have a desire for vehicles. Like, I want to sell my Jeep. It's going to happen soon. Nice Jeep. I want a truck. So I have this desire. Sometimes I like music instruments. I get stuck on things. Like, I want it. And you know how you can get really focused on things when you want it? Whatever it is, look on Craigslist, you Google it, you look on eBay. When you're on your break at work, you pick up your phone and you look for something because you have a desire for something. That desire can be really potent. Like, God can use our desires when it's based off of what He has in store for us. He can help us focus on what He has planned. Now, the truck and all that stuff, that's not God placing a desire in me. That's Ben looking at a Chevy and saying, man, that'd be a lot nicer than this Jeep. When I look, I'm right there with you, David. So when I look at other things, though, and we have a whole list of things, but one of the strong desires I know God placed in my heart is for husbands and wives to love each other. When I see stress in marriages, it's something, for some reason, God has trusted me enough to have a radar that I pick up on it. I've studied it, and I've asked for wisdom. And when I see stress in marriages, I feel a burden like this, oh no. And I generally start praying for you and my friends too. God places a desire in my heart based on His plan. This is what Jesus is talking about, whatever you desire. Where is it? That Psalm 37 says that God will give us the desires of our heart. And a lot of times we'll hear pastors just take that chunk of scripture and say, so whatever you believe, you'll receive. And all you need to do is send us a seed offering. Yeah. If you'll sow that seed of faith of $100, we'll believe with you. I'm not making this up. I watch TBN for sport sometimes until my blood pressure gets to a certain level, then I turn it off. Then it stops being holy and it turns into anger. That is not what David is saying here. If you'll just believe God will and you'll give Him something, then He'll give it back to you. What David is actually saying is, when you are a child of God, let's pause. Before you're a child of God, you have desires. We have desires. Generally, those are not desires that would line up with God's plan. Non-Christian men generally have desires that do not line up with God's plan. Non-Christian women also the same. When we come to God and we say, I'm your child, give me the desires of your heart, He will begin to take these things that I think about all the time and begin to show me, you know, that's not really what I have planned for you. And He will trade me desires. He traded me the desire to be right all the time with the desire to be a loving husband. I traded. I'll give you this desire, God, and God gave me something in return. That's what the Bible means when it says He'll give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't mean whatever you want He'll give you. It means He will place the desire in your heart. So as a Christian, when I see something that is not going according to God's plan and I begin feeling a burden for it, it's okay to pray and ask God to do something miraculous. Because I can know that God has given me this desire to see it come out right. That's why I see it to begin with, because it's what God wants. And if God knows He wants it, and He has the ability to fix it, I can pray confidently, saying, God, I know You can do this. You're the one that showed it to me. For some reason, You showed me this. You maybe want to use me to make it right, and I'm going to pray and have 100% confidence that You can make it happen. That is praying for the desires of our heart in faith. I believe God can do it. This gets me so excited. I'm trying to. Psalm chapter 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. That might not be a truck or a guitar or whatever house we happen to be buying at the time. The things that I'm desiring, are those committed to the way of the Lord? I can trust in him and he will do this. Verse 6 says, he will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Verse 7, I don't know if I want to read verse 7 or not. It's not as fun. Verse 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's the part where this complete confidence in my ADD conflict. God, you said you'll make it happen. And sometimes he does what he did at Ball State. It was literally, I prayed that night, came in the next morning, the doors were open and there was nothing there. Sometimes he says, all right, make it happen. Other times he says, sit and wait patiently on the Lord. But don't you know God? Don't you realize when I start asking God if he sees things or knows things, hello, okay, stop, Ben. Whatever you're saying, just stop. Sure he does. Has he asked me to pray about this? Yes. Is he fully aware of what's going on? Yes. Okay? I must be missing something. So I will sit and wait patiently on the Lord, having full confidence that he will do it. Okay? We're almost done. I have so many notes on this. I'm not kidding you. I have 4 pages of notes. I was so excited. I'm not going to make you suffer through all of them. Let's go here. Let's end with Elijah. Therefore, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. When I pray, believe that God has placed this in my life and he will bring it into my life. 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah had just had this big showing of God's power. The prophets of Baal prayed for hours and hours and hours. Their God never showed up. Elijah soaked the offering in the altar, and then he soaked it some more with water. And then all he said was, God, make yourself known so they will know who you are. And the Bible says, and I believe, that God consumed the offering, the stones, and all of the water, poof, and it was gone. Just like that. Elijah had complete confidence in God that he could answer. After that, something else fun happened. See, there'd been this drought for a long time. Elijah goes in with his servant, and they're in their tent. And Elijah says, go outside and look for rain. The servant goes out and looks for rain. Comes back in, and he says, there's not a cloud in the sky. Elijah says, it's going to rain. Go check again. So the servant goes out, comes back in, there's no rain. This happens 7 times. At this point I'm thinking, did you drink? Was there something in your water? What are you talking about? I've got to read this scripture because it's so connected to it. 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Here we go. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secret. What's interesting is God gave Elijah a commercial. Stay tuned. This is what's going to happen next. God sent his Spirit into Elijah and showed him something that had not yet happened. And he told his servant, go out, look for rain, and we're going to get soaked. And his servant kept coming back. There's no rain. And we see the key ingredient to prayer. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, which I think I put that up there. But Rochelle, could you move us forward one? There it is. This is what faith is. And Elijah must have known this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, now that's proof, of things that we have not yet seen. Elijah had full confidence in something that hadn't happened yet, but he believed it because God showed it to him. It's going to rain. And the servant came back. On the 7th time, he came back and said, There's a cloud in the sky that's about the size of a man's fist. And Elijah said, great, go tell the king he better get out of here because there's going to be so much water he won't be able to pass through the roads. Yeah, right. And then guess what happened? It dumped. That's because God had placed something in Elijah's heart. I have full confidence God has put this here, and I am having the faith in God that he has told me he will do something and he'll make it happen. Elijah didn't say, well, I wonder, well, can you check again? By the sixth time, Elijah didn't say, oh, well, maybe I was wrong. Let me go ask him again. He said, just go check again. And that's the kind of faith I want to have. When God has placed a desire in my life, or he has shown me something that can be, if I obey him, this is what I have planned. I want to be able to pray and say, God, I know that you'll make it happen. I have no clue how you're going to do it, but I know you will because you've showed it to me. You know I love music. And I'm just going to share this one with you. Something that I see, and I told Carissa this yesterday, and I'm going to close with this. I was singing these songs that we do. I sing them in my head all the time. I hear different instruments. I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, but I hear things in my head. While we're playing these songs, I hear what it'll be like. Not just like, well, I wonder, or wouldn't it be nice, but I physically hear inside of my head what it will sound like when we have a violin and someone who's really good and soft and tastefully plays the drums. And all of us working together, I hear that. Not delusional. I know what it's going to sound like. It's not here. But for some reason, God has entrusted me with this strong desire to develop a group of people who can not be a distraction, not be a show, but give us a place where we can come and for the first half of the service, all we do is tell God we love him and we trust him. And we do that now. I just am always thinking about the future. And I see it. It hasn't happened yet. There are no clouds in the sky. Well, maybe there's a fist. Now, you really think, yes, I do. There might be some areas in your life where you feel like God has placed this burden in your heart because you just know he wants it. You don't know how he's going to make it happen. And it might be ridiculous. It might be a mountain, and you might not even have a shovel. But God has said, I want this to happen. And you might say, how in the world? Is there anything I need to do? Well, I've done what I can. I don't know. Anything else? Okay, well, what do I need now? I need a mustard seed. It's all I need. And what my hope is for us today is to not give up on God's ability to do what he's placed in our lives. So, is this in line with God's plan? Yes. I realize that if my desire is to please God, then he's put this here, so I'll trust him to do it, whatever it is. That's a big, long explanation to say, when you pray confidently, because we have a God who moves mountains. I'm not speaking just metaphorically. When he needs to change the direction of the winds so the balloons will get into China or North Korea, I believe it was North Korea, actually, he'll make it happen. When I have things in my life that I don't know what else I can do, but it's bigger than me, I can pray confidently knowing, God, you have said that this is what you want for us. So make it happen. And then I will sit and wait patiently on the Lord. Are you with me? Great. I don't know if you noticed I'm grabbing my hands. I wrote this. I didn't write, this isn't all Ben Muncy. It's out of the Bible. I study other preachers, listen to other preachers. And when I started, well, yeah, you big dummy. Why wouldn't you trust him? If he's put this in your heart, why wouldn't you think that he's going to make it happen? Sometimes I need to keep praying and I don't have to cry. I don't have to wail all the time. But if I believe God will do what he's placed in my heart, he'll make it happen. Maybe I just need to sit and wait patiently on the Lord. Maybe I need to look around and see, okay, have I dug as deep as I can dig? I don't want to dig myself in a hole, but have I used the tools he's given me? If so, then all I can do is trust him, but I know he'll do it. And that's what I want us to do today. If you will stand with me, we're just going to pray for a minute. Oh my goodness, it's 11:45. Can you believe I talked so long? I had 2 pages I didn't even cover. Maybe there's something, and I've told you mine. My brain works in music. That's what I have continued to tell God. I know that you'll make it happen, and he is making it happen. Some things have happened recently where you are already seeing the results of it. And initially when I started praying, I was like, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I know you can. And then I'm like, oh, well, yeah, of course you can. Maybe there's something that you've been thinking, God, I know you want this for me or for someone around me, but I don't know how it's going to happen. And it might move you to tears. You might want to pray out loud, or you might just be at the point where you say, I can make a commitment to you, God, that I will trust you to do whatever it is you have planned that's lined up with what you have for me. If you want to pray, I'm not going to be here forever. I mean, we're not going to stay in this mindset for just a couple minutes maybe, but if there's something going on in your mind or that you've been throwing back and forth, unsure about, we're going to pray. And if you want to come here and just say, I'm making a commitment, God, to trust you, you said you'll do it, I believe you'll do it. If you want to stand and pray in your seat, that's fine too. But we're going to pray. And I would encourage you to have confidence in God's ability to move any mountain that's in his way. I just want to make sure I'm on the same path that God's on, so when he moves it, I'll be able to walk through it. Okay? We thank you, God, that you have given us your wisdom. And thank you for the ability to read. And thank you for all the tools and the resources we have to understand what you said a long time ago and help us to make sense out of it. Whatever it is that's going on in our lives as individuals, the things that sometimes you might think I'm schizophrenic or wish you'd just make up my mind. I have confidence that you will do what you want to do. And when you have shown me something, keep reminding me that you can make it happen. So those times when I feel emotional, or times when I just feel like here I am asking you again, keep reminding me to have faith in you, that you will always accomplish your plan. And I'm just glad that you've allowed me to be a part of it. Give us direction. Help me to know when to sit down and wait patiently. And help me to know when to pick up my shovel and get to work. But in both situations, keep telling me to trust you. I know that you will make it happen. And it's in the name of Jesus, who came back alive from the dead, that we have confidence that you can do anything you want. And it's in his name we pray and say thank you. Amen. This Wednesday we will not be here, so if you show up, you'll probably be by yourself, but we will see you again next Sunday. If you want a ride, we'll be leaving here at 5:30 in the evenings, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.